I want to share this morning just to encourage us. I've called this Breakthrough is on the Way. Breakthrough is on the way. Your breakthrough is on the way. My breakthrough is on the way. God has said many things, and so he expects us to have this attitude of anticipating breakthrough. 2 weeks ago when Sean Strong was here, one of the things that I remember standing out is the fact that all the promises in God are yea and amen, and God is faithful. And so as I share this morning, it's just helping us again to embrace and to be ready for the breakthroughs that are on the way to us. I'm going to use the people of Israel as an example, as well as Joseph as an example, as we go through this morning. Well, let's just pray before we get going. And as we pray, I also want to be praying for those who are not here, who are not well. There's one church in town that is actually closed for the rest of the month because they have so many people not well. So let's just bring these situations to the God who answers prayer. Amen. Father, we thank you that you're a God who answers prayer. We thank you, God, that nothing is impossible with you. Lord, we just got encouragement, Father, to pray and to believe you for your supernatural intervention. And so, Lord, we lift up those among us, those who are from Cross Creek who may be ill this morning. And Father, we send forth your word. We send forth your word of healing. Lord, we command sickness to go from their bodies. And Lord, release the healing virtue of Christ to flow from the corner of their heads to the soles of their feet to bring healing. Lord, we pray for those who are around, those who are sick. That Father, you might protect them, O God, from becoming infected in any way. That your spirit might and your angels might just watch over them and protect them in the name of Jesus Christ. That they might have testimonies of your intervention. Lord, we lift the first assembly of God. And Lord, we pray for your grace to be among that congregation. Again, Lord, we pray for healing for the members of that congregation. Father, we pray for strength. We pray that in a time like this, Lord, they might come together in unity. They might support each other. And Lord, we pray that all of this, Lord, you might bring forth a lot of good. Lord, we lift up the rest of our community. Lord, as there have been increases in COVID cases, Lord, in our community, Lord, we speak a word. We command this virus to cease and to be gone from our midst, to be gone from our community in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we release your healing virtue to flow even into our community so that this thing will be arrested and come to an end among us in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we look into your word, we ask you to speak to our hearts. We ask you to encourage us. We ask you, God, to glorify Christ. We ask you, God, to draw alongside each one of us and help us to hear you speak in the word that each of us need to hear. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. And amen. So yes, we're talking about breakthrough is on the way. So turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 4 and verse 29 through to 31. We're going to talk first about the situation that we are in before we experience a breakthrough. That there are usually some things that are at work or in play. And so in Exodus 4:29, it says that Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites. And Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. So here, Moses, after his encounter with God in the wilderness, God had told him when he encountered him there that he was sending him back to set his people free, to bring his people out of Egypt, to bring them to the promised land. And Moses comes back and he shares with Aaron, and they come to the people, gather the leaders, and share with them God's word. That there's a breakthrough that is on the way. God has seen your circumstance. God has spoken his word. His word comes forth. We have something to hold on to. It's not our imagination, but it's what God has said. It might be a loved one who is turned away from the Lord, who's walking away from the Lord, and the word of the Lord comes to you, helping you to know that God says, this one I will bring back to myself. The promise is spoken. And we need to latch on to it and lay hold of it. It might be a situation of health. And the word comes, God says, I'm the Lord who heals you, and you hold on to it. And to believe God until it comes to pass. It may be a promise of personal renewal, personal revival, a promise of revival for us as a community. And you hold on to God's word. So it's not a make-believe thing, but it's something that is based on what God has said. And oftentimes it seems impossible. These people had been there in Egypt for over 400 years, and I'm not sure how many of those years they were in slavery, but I know it was a lot. Why do I know that? Because they were in slavery before Moses was born. And at this point in time, Moses is 80 years old. So they were in slavery for quite a while. And God says, I'm going to set you free. In the natural, it seems like this must be a joke. How is he going to set us free? Look at the might of the Egyptian army. Look at how strong and how powerful they are. How is God going to set us free? But the fact is, the leaders here received the word. And as a consequence of receiving the word, they responded in worship. You see, so when you get a word, when I get a word, I not only should say, yes, Lord, but I should really respond with an attitude of gratitude and heart of gratitude and worship God and thank him for the word. Thank you, Lord, for my deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for my freedom. Thank you, Lord, for you're going to break through into my financial circumstance. Thank you, Lord, that my son is going to be, he's going to find himself right where he ought to be in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. It's not just, you know, something for us to say, oh yeah, God has said this. But no, we need to receive it and to give God thanks for it. And that's what these leaders did. They received God's word that God said, I'm concerned about you. I've seen your misery. And I've sent Moses and Aaron to come and lead you out. Well, how many know that many times when you get a word, it seems that the situation gets worse? It doesn't always happen, but it happens often enough that God speaks the word and it's as if you're sick, you seem to get sicker. If you're in a financial circumstance, something else breaks down. If it's a child you're waiting for to come back to the Lord, they go and get more involved in all sort of activities. And you're like, oh, Lord! That's what happened for Israel. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said in chapter 5 of Exodus, verse 1, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. And then down to verse 6, it says, that same day that Moses said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh says, look, the people of the land are now numerous and you are stopping them from, as verse 5, from working. Verse 6, that same day Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people, you are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw. Things got worse. All because of Moses and Aaron going to Pharaoh. In verse 17 of chapter 5, Pharaoh said, lazy, that's what you are. Lazy! This is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Pharaoh's like, obviously, you're not working hard enough. You're talking about you, the Lord wants you to go and sacrifice to him in the wilderness. And things got worse. Now they had to get their own straw and still meet the quota that was they were meeting from before. And you can imagine how the spirits of the people fell. Because they were excited. God is going to set us free. And Moses is going to go to Aaron. Moses and Aaron, sorry, is going to go to Pharaoh and speak the word. And we're going to march out of here. You know, we have these assumptions that, you know, as long as God speaks, it's going to come to pass immediately. So clearly, if Moses and Aaron goes to Pharaoh, Pharaoh is going to realize that he should let us go. And it's just going to be a smooth sailing event after this. And Pharaoh is like, what on earth are you saying? Who is this Lord? and just made life worse for Israel. Sometimes the situation lingers on and on. It might not get worse, but it doesn't improve. Like what happened with Joseph. You know, Joseph had his dream before and he had high hopes and he ends up being a slave. And that lingered on and on. For him, it actually got worse. He ended up being thrown into prison. But I have the promise of God. I have the vision. I saw it. It was confirmed by my own family. And here I am in prison. Wow. Verse 22 of chapter 5 of Exodus. Moses himself returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since," have you ever said that? "Ever since I got the word, ever since I started to confess that I'm healed, ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on his people and you have not rescued your people at all. Lord, what is this? Ever since you sent me to Pharaoh, things have just gone downhill. Things have gotten worse." And friends, we shouldn't be surprised, because that's how the enemy acts. The enemy hears the word too, and the enemy is like, "No, you're not going to get free. No, that boy's not coming back. No, you're not going to get healed. No, you're not going to get a financial breakthrough." And so the enemy, as it were, sends more of his demons to make things worse for us. The enemy stirred up Pharaoh and said, "These people are lazy. You're making life too easy for them." Amen. Sometimes we go through all sorts of, during a time when things get worse or things are lingering on, you can go through all sorts of feelings of rejection, feelings of abandonment, wondering what on earth is happening. I feel as if I'm the only one going through this. Nobody really understands. The psalmist in Psalm 27, verse 12 and 13 says, "Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this: I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And so the psalmist had to remind himself, "You'll still see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Earlier on in verse 10, he says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will still rescue me or receive me." And so the psalmist had to remind himself about the goodness of God and the word of God, that even when his own family can't be there for him, yes, he still confesses, "I'm going to see the goodness of God. Not when I get to heaven. When I get to heaven, everything will be all right. But in this land, the land of living, I'm going to see my loved one come back to the Lord. I'm going to see my financial circumstances turn around. I'm going to see the goodness of God." Amen. Yes, things might get worse, but I'm still going to hold on to the word of the Lord. Sometimes you go back to the Lord and it seems as if God doesn't even answer. It seems like the heavens are like brass. You cry out to him and that if God is saying, "Hold on to the word I already gave you. Amen. I'm a faithful God. My promises are yea and amen." And you're like, "Yeah, but it's looking worse, Lord." And so questions arise about the goodness of God and about the word of the Lord. And what is God really doing? It's amazing. You can almost predict it. You go to a great conference. And there's a move of God, and the word comes forth, and you come back from the conference excited, and then things just start to go downhill. You start to have transmission problems with the car. if refrigerator stops working, another child starts acting up, and you're wondering, Lord, I thought I got all these promises at the conference. I mean, you know, the word came forth so strongly. I could sense your presence. I thought it was just going to be immediately. And things get worse, and you don't know what to do. So while you're waiting for the breakthrough, what does God expect from us? For Moses and Aaron, they always turn back to lifting up the name of the Lord. That is not about me, it's about the Lord. For Joseph did the same thing. When it came time, when the butler and the baker had their dreams, Joseph says, there is a God who interprets dreams. You know, as he always point people back to the Lord. He's not like, well, I have, you know, a relationship with God and he enables me to interpret dreams. He's like, no. It is God who gives interpretation. He said the same thing to Pharaoh. At Pharaoh, there is a God who gives interpretation of dreams. So rather than promoting myself and what the promises of God has said to me, no, I'm going to promote God and who he is. That he's a faithful God. He has worked in my life in the past. He's worked in the lives of people all around me. Exalt the name of the Lord. You know, when Moses went back to Pharaoh, he told him basically that, listen, Pharaoh, this is what God is going to do. This is what God says. And the plagues were released. And Pharaoh, after that point, realized God is in charge. So he actually called Moses and says, Moses, you go and pray to your God to stop the flies. You go and pray to your God to stop this. And so even Pharaoh himself came to realize that God was at work. It wasn't about Moses anymore, but about the God of Israel. Amen. But you all know that Pharaoh, his heart was so hardened that his turning was just brief. And he'd always come back saying, okay, you guys are not going to go anywhere. Or, you can't go again. Or only the men can go and not the children. God expects you and me to remain faithful to him during those times of waiting for the promises. Just to remain faithful. Just to remain close to the Lord. Draw close to him. That's what Moses did. He continued to remain close to the Lord. That's what Joseph did. In the midst of prison, he's still walking with the Lord. And we know that because if you're not walking with the Lord, you can't interpret dreams. You can say stuff, but they won't come to pass. But Joseph was going through a rough time, and his response was to still hold on to the God of his father. And he didn't have any Bible. He didn't have church. He didn't have internet. All he knew was about the God of his father who had given this vision, this dream, and he held on to his relationship with this God. And because he did that, in the midst of the difficult circumstances, he still saw God's favor, but the real breakthrough took a while. That's why the Bible says God is not slack or slow concerning his promises. But what the writer is really saying is that he's not necessarily going to answer in the time that you think he's going to answer. So he's really trying to encourage them, saying, listen, God is going to come through. You and I wish that the moment he said it, it would be done. The moment he says your son will be saved, that you go home and you get a phone call. Mom, I was just walking down the street and a rabbit ran in front of me, and before I knew it, I bowed down to the Lord. No, it doesn't work like that. So we are called to remain faithful to the Lord. I put here in the notes not to get into self-pity and bitterness and unforgiveness, but rather to practice the positives, to confess God's promises, to continue to seek his face. David had to run for his own life, but he continued to seek the face of the Lord. And there's something that God does for us during this time of waiting. He wants to work on our inside. He wants to change us. So when God says to Jerry, do not fear, God is trying to change something inside. When God says to you and me, do not fear, he's trying to change something inside, because we have this default response of anxiety, default response of trying to solve it to ourselves. And so God is like, I got to work on you first. That's why the writer of James says, you know, if you experience some trials, count it all joy. Count it joy. Because it's an opportunity for God to work inside of us. It's an opportunity for God to change us and to transform us into the image of his Son. And that's why the writer of James would say, count it all joy. Consider it joy. Say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Lord, what are the things inside of me that you need to uproot? Because I'm sure, like me, if you think about it, if Joseph, after he got released from his pit and went to Egypt, if he became the second in command of Pharaoh after a year or two, he would have all sort of issues inside of him that he hadn't been dealt with. Those 13 or so years that he had to wait, God was able to work on him so that when he saw his brothers later on, he had already forgiven them. When he saw his brothers later on, he was able to say to them, you know what, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God opened my eyes to see that he was still at work in the midst of my circumstances. So God worked on him. The young guy, he was so proud and arrogant before that. But no, after God has worked on him, he became humble. He would weep before them. He would say to them, don't worry about anything. I'm going to take care of you and your family. That's in Genesis 50. Because God had worked upon him in the inside. And so God does the same thing to you and for me in the time of waiting. If I allow him, he will work on the inside. He'll show me the little things as Nathaniel shared earlier. The little things that perhaps on the outside you might not see. When you have the anxiety, depending on how you carry yourself, people might not know. But when you reach to that place of real, true peace, you can stand in the midst of a storm. And so God has to work upon us. God has to change us. And sometimes if you don't know what to do, James says, ask the Lord for wisdom. Because he gives it generously to whoever wants wisdom. You don't know what to do, things are getting worse. So Lord, give me some wisdom to know how to respond. And he will give us the wisdom. We hear the psalmist many times crying out, why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. Keep your hope in the Lord, not in people, because people are going to disappoint you. If Moses thought that fear was just going to roll over and let the people go, his hope is going to be dashed. Because fear is not going to respond like that. And so if we put our hope in people and in circumstances, we're going to end up being very frustrated. Put your hope in God, and then God will work in the hearts of people and change people and bring things to pass. And you'd think that by now we'd learn, but we still are prone to put our hope and trust in people. I'm amazed. I mean, I see it every 4 years when it comes to election time. They put their hope in people and before you know it, they get disappointed. Put our hope in God and he will work through the people to fulfill his will and his purposes. Amen. Because humans, we're all imperfect and therefore we will fail in different ways. Psalm 20. It's a psalm of David. Verse 1 says, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the Lord of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banner in the name of our Lord. May the Lord grant all your requests. And then he ends it by saying, now I know, or this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his holy sanctuary with victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Put our trust in God. Put your hope in God. He's the one who brings things about in his own time. So let me talk a little bit now about the dynamics of a breakthrough. The dynamics for breakthrough. Just to remind us, we know this. It occurs in God's timing. We wish we could twist his arm and get it done in our timing. It doesn't work like that. It occurs in his timing. Oftentimes, we are all surprised. We're taken by surprise because he does it in his timing and in his way. Israel had their hopes dashed, so to speak. Each time a plague was stopped, they thought this is going to be the time, and it wasn't. God had his own timing for setting them free. The occurs in God's timing. Same thing happened for Joseph, the occurred in God's timing. Joseph was totally surprised when he was sent for by Pharaoh because he had answered, he had explained the dreams of these two men, and he said to the butler, listen, when you leave here, remember me. And if you read it in Genesis, it says 2 years pass. The butler completely forgot about Joseph. He's waiting for his breakthrough to be released from prison. And the man who he has helped forgot about him. But in God's own timing, he gave Pharaoh these dreams. And had the butler there at the right time to say, listen, oh yeah, I remember this guy I met in prison. And in a moment, quickly, Joseph went from prison to the palace, from rags to riches. Nobody could have dreamt it would have occurred that way. But that's how the breakthroughs of God come. They come suddenly, and we are caught by surprise, and we're like, oh, wow, where did that come from? Who paid that bill? You get the phone call when you weren't anticipating anything. I said, Mom, you won't believe it. I went up last night at a revival meeting. You're like, oh, wow. And you even caught a little bit in your surprise. You're like, so what does this mean, son? Because you want to make sure. But that's how it is. So even Israel was to go, they had to leave quickly. They killed the lamb, and Lord said, no, you got to go now. And they left. Miracles tend to occur when the breakthrough comes. All sorts of miracles, left, right, and center. When Israel walked out and was set free, there were all types of miracles that took place. The Lord told them to go to their Egyptian masters and request gold and silver and nice clothes from them. And these Egyptians gave it to them. And I'm thinking, are you dumb? They could give you a gold and your silver to your slaves. But miracles occurred. And they left with gold and silver. They come to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea part as Moses stretched forth his rod. Miracles occur. All sorts of miracles that they could never have dreamt of. And so the circumstances change because of God's breakthrough into your life. Circumstances itself now changes. And oftentimes a breakthrough takes place in all different spheres of our lives. I'm looking at Exodus chapter 14. This is what the Lord did to the enemy in Exodus 14, verse 24. Because the enemy still tried to come after Israel. And says, during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and the cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. God brought confusion into the enemy's camp. And he jammed the wheels of their chariot so that they had difficulty steering. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Even the Egyptians realized that God was fighting for the Israelites. Because the things that were happening to them is like, no, this is not normal. This is supernatural. We're in a warfare here. Because God is setting his people free. Verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. Verse 29. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and his Moses, his servant. You see, when the breakthrough happens, something happens to us. We get a greater revelation of the Lord. We have a different response to the Lord. So these Israelites, even though they knew of the plagues, no, when they saw these miracles, the fear of the Lord rose up inside of them. They realized, oh, this is a God to be worshipped. This is a God to be reverenced. This is a God to be honored. And you and I, if we take the time and we look at the breakthroughs God has brought us through, you can see a greater revelation of who God is and how we ought to respond. He's always revealing himself in the midst of miracles. You get a new revelation, a greater revelation of God. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him. My father's God and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord, our Yahweh, is his name. They got a fresh revelation of who God is. They came to realize that God is a warrior. The Lord God mighty in battle, who fights on the behalf of his people, who brings victory. And they responded to the breakthrough with worship. They responded to the breakthrough by exalting the name of the Lord. They responded by delighting in the Lord. Can I tell you something, friends? The many things God has brought you and I through, we should not feel inhibited to rejoice in the Lord and to declare his goodness. I was listening, my wife and I, we went to Kansas City yesterday, and so on the way up we were listening to some messages by Bishop Joseph Garlington from Pittsburgh, and you know, as he was sharing, it just resonated in my own spirit. And one of the things he was saying is that When we come to exalt the name of the Lord, we shouldn't be too concerned about the person beside us, because they didn't get us free. They didn't set us free. And he was talking about Mary, the sister of Martha, you know, in John chapter 12, that, you know, when Jesus passed back through, she took her expensive perfume and broke it and anointed him. Filled the whole place with the scent of this perfume. And some people got upset. Judas got upset and said, this is a waste. You don't have to go on. I mean, why are you going on like that? But it wasn't Judas's brother who was raised from the dead. You understand? It's her brother who was raised from the dead. She knew what God had done for her and in her own family. And so she don't have no reason to be concerned about Judas and how he feels. It's true. If I feel that, you know, because of what the way in which God has intervened in my life, man, I want to run, I want to dance. It's your problem if you want to get upset. You didn't set me free. You didn't intervene. You didn't save me. You didn't fight on my behalf. And so Israel here broke out and they started to, Miriam took up the timbrel and started to lead in worship. They were doing things they'd never done perhaps in all their life because they were in bondage. And now they have seen the deliverance of God. And they rejoiced, they sang the song of Moses and Miriam let loose on all the ladies. So Sister Betty says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah! Thank God for saving me. When you think of the close times when, boy, you could have been one step into eternity and God intervened. My goodness. When you think of the doors God opened and gave you the job you have or gave you the situation that you have. Oh, he deserves to be worshipped. He deserves to be honored. And so it brings us, my friends, to a new level of worship. A new level of declaring how good God is. I'm going to ask Bonnie if she'd come on back. It brings us to a place where we operate with a different level of authority. You see, after those victories, now Israel could face the Amalekites. In Exodus chapter 17, when the Amalekites came out against them, Israel could face them because Israel had already seen God bring victory. And now Moses, all he had to do was to stand there with his hands up to the Lord. They knew that God would fight for them. And so when you and I have been brought through our circumstances, we know that God is working on our behalf. We know that God cares for us. We know that God will come through. And so we can stand boldly and lift our hands to the Lord, anticipating that he's going to do more and more and more because that's the type of God that we serve. And as we get more revelation of the Lord, we realize that there's so much more to this God. That if you look at the life of Moses, he has seen so much of God, but yet still in Exodus 33, when he's before the Lord, he's like saying, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, there's so much more about you. Lord, I go up into the mountain, I'm spending 40 days there, and I still want to know more. Because something happens inside of us that goes beyond just the circumstances that he has changed. We start to realize how awesome our God is. And we're like, Lord, teach me your ways. Lord, open my eyes that I might see who you really are. Give me a greater revelation of your glory and of your power. And you cry out, Lord, I want more. Lord, I'm not satisfied. I want more. Because there's so much more in God. But you also function, I put here in the notes, with a greater compassion for people. Because you've been there. And you can see the compassion that Joseph now had for his own brothers. You can see the compassion that Moses had for Israel. Because Moses come down from the mountain and the people are worshipping a calf. And God is ready to destroy them. And Moses is like, Lord, you can't destroy them. Here's Moses having compassion on these people. He's like, Lord, they are your own people. And so you pray differently. You look at circumstances differently. Because you've been there and you've been through it. And so the breakthrough is not just this part of the circumstance. But the breakthrough brings you into a new place in your own walk with God. When the miracles occur, when God intervenes, we are changed. And that's part of the reason why God allows us to wait. To get to that place where when he intervenes suddenly, we realize this is God. And it changes us. And we are different. And as a consequence, we minister with people and to people, we minister differently. Because we minister knowing that, yes, sis, you're waiting now, but be faithful. Remember Abraham? Patience and faith, he inherited the promises. Sis, be patient, but be faithful to the Lord. Don't turn away, sis. You've come too far now to turn away. He's going to intervene suddenly. He's going to turn things around. Or you know that I've been there. I've seen it. I'm living it. I don't know your circumstances. But what I do know is that a breakthrough is on its way. What I do know is that in this time of waiting for the breakthrough, we can still praise God because we have seen Him breakthrough in the past. We can still lift up the name of the Lord because we know He's a faithful God. We can still call people to follow the Lord because we have seen Him at work in our own lives and our own circumstances. And we believe in a God who does miracles. A God who does things sometimes suddenly. Sometimes it's subtle and gradual, but sometimes it's suddenly. Let us stand.